Today is a good day. It is so good to be in the room, to be with you. If I haven't met you, maybe it's your first time just around these people. It's all of our first time together in the room. But let me just introduce myself. I'm Connor Baxter, and I have the privilege of serving here at this church. And it is a fun time to be together. And the first thing I wanted to do as we, you know, step into this room is just open up God's word and remind us what we're in the middle of and try not to miss this moment. As I've officiated a couple different weddings, one of the things I always tell the bride and the groom is when you are up there, just try to capture the moment. It's gonna go fast, it's gonna be crazy, there's a tons of emotions, it's exciting, but when you're standing up there, and just take a moment to see all that God has done. Looking in your bride or spouse's to be eyes, looking at your friends that are in the room. But ultimately, looking back to God, because he's the one at work. So that's what I want to give you as we corporately are going to talk about some things. You as the individual, believer and follower of Jesus, I just want you to pause in this moment before your God and your King. In this scripture, I'm just going to read over you and say a few things about. I want to be your prayer, turning back to God in this moment is the right thing that we do first. So I'm going to read, and you're going to listen, and you're going to pray, and you're going to talk to your God and thank him for what's going on. In Psalm 145, verse 10 through 13, says this, "All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you." Let me just remind you, the works we are in the middle in, the fun that we are in the middle of what God is doing, it is not because of any individual church. It is not because of any individual. This is the work of God, not man. And his works alone will praise him, but us as the saints, the one he is working through, ought to sit there and say, this is amazing what God is doing, and rejoice and turn to thank him. They, us, shall speak of your glory, of your kingdom, and tell of your power. There's a lot of amazing things we're celebrating, but what we are celebrating is the kingdom has come to us and it will go forth through us as we trust in God. Yes, we're going to celebrate building, and yes, we're going to celebrate a name, and yes, we're going to celebrate different ways God is moving, but this ultimately, whether he takes, if he takes all of that away, we have reason to celebrate. We have reason to tell the glory of the kingdom. We have reason to tell the power of God. Verse 12, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your domain endures throughout all generations. That's what we're in the middle of. That's what we're celebrating. That's what we're thankful for. And God has decided in this moment to just wrap that mission and that celebration with some fun things, like buildings and other things. But let me just stop right here and pray with you to our good God who is with us. So Lord, the first thing we want to do in a new building is remind ourselves it's not about the building. And we want to be grateful. And this is a work of you and the way you united two churches and the way that you met each other's needs through others' strengths and the way that coming together is better than being apart. But ultimately, Lord, we are thankful that you reign, that you are good and that you are working. And we as your saints and your people just turn back to thank you. We don't want to miss this moment. We get one first Sunday together to just marvel at what you're doing in this place we now call home. So Lord, we love you and we thank you ultimately that you are bringing us to our eternal home, and that's where our faith, that's where our hope comes from, the resurrection of Jesus, the power of you. And so we love you. I pray you'd use this morning in ways that would go well beyond what we even prayed this morning would produce, and you would be magnified and you would be glorified. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, I have the privilege today of telling you your new church name. Unlike Tim Troop last week, if you were tuning in, this is real. You are really going to figure it out. But as God has worked and his glory is being revealed, he does that through his people. He does use us. And so before I even get to that, I just want to acknowledge how many of you have done so much for us to get to this place. I mean, even in the last week, there's some fun pictures I'll flash up here. This is what was happening even the week leading up to, so we could even be able to gather in this new building, a new geographic location of ours as the church. And it took a lot of work. A lot of you were here just serving. You weren't looking to find the highest and best use of your gifts. You were just finding needs and meeting them and giving your time. And the God of power and glory and generations uses this kind of people, uses this kind of people. And really these fun photos as they're coming by, just show you some of the fun in the last week, but I mean to use them to just show you years of faithfulness, years of standing in the gap, years of doing what needs to be done, years of people seeking and serving one another. From different places and different genealogies and different family trees of churches who have just sought to serve God. And the God of glory, the everlasting kingdom, is using his people. But thank you. I can't show the pictures of you who have prayed. I can't show the pictures of those of you who have endured. I can't show the pictures of those of you who for years bounced in places and pushed carts. I can't demonstrate all of that in a moment. But I just want to say thank you and say way to go and tell you we're only beginning. And so there is so much fun ahead for us. If God wants to do this in just a short period of time, I can't imagine what he wants to do moving forward. So I am going to teach you this week, settle in. Our series is about our name. Names have always been important to God. They mean something more than just how to get somebody's attention. They are displaying character, displaying the essence of somebody. God throughout scripture changes names several times to show something. Abram became Abraham. You know, Jacob became Israel, the father of nations. Even Jesus, when he stepped in the earth, takes on different names, the Prince of Peace, to show you he's the only one that can bring peace. When we get around Christmas time, we talk about Jesus being Emmanuel, God with us. Names are important. They communicate something. We have done the best we can to be diligent and prayerful to find the name we believe God handed down to us. I'm excited to share it with you. And to be honest, a lot of you have been waiting with patience to hear the name. And there is a little bit of strategy in waiting this long. It was a mean and a tools we used to disciple you. Okay, what I mean is we intentionally took a little longer because we got into that season of not having a name and found that it was really good for us to not have anything to hang on to except the name of Christ. And I'm just gonna warn us today, as we get a name, we have to be careful and we have to be diligent to make that the thing. This name is coming underneath the name of Christ. It's right for all those reasons. And God shows us himself in scripture how names are important. But we don't want to miss those awkward conversations you've had in the last 3 months where you invited people to your church and then had to find a way to express what church you were inviting them to. That was good for us because you had to talk about Jesus. I mean, you had to say something about Christ. And so we just pray that continues. The scripture that we are going to put forth a name, and our prayer for you as you receive it is John 3:30. That we would decrease as Christ as he would increase. And in some ways, we are presenting ourselves a challenge for that today by giving a name. So we just want to keep fighting for making this about Christ, making this about God. That we are a local expression of what Christ is doing, but this is about Christ. Now with that, we opened up to you guys the opportunity to submit some names. So I've got all of them right here. Some of you decided to jump in with us in the journey of choosing a name. I've got over 70 names right here that came from the body. And I was really encouraged. A lot of people put a lot of intentionality behind their name. And hopefully if you jumped in with this, you realize yourself how hard it is to name something. I've gotten to name a few things in my life. When I was 16, I got to name my first car. Hopefully many of you did that. When I was in college, I was in ministry, I got to help kind of build. And so I got a chance to be a part of naming that as a father. I've gotten to name 3 kids. And now it's a joy as a pastor to, with you, pick a name of a church. But let me just read to you some of these. one of my favorite things that came through was, we asked, hey, submit your names in this box and give your reason in this box. And one of you put in the box of, here's the name I would suggest. You just took that as your opportunity to write this. Please, please, twice, please, please do not let the new name of the church sound like a weed dispensary. And unfortunately, that eliminated half of our names. So then it shrunk from there. No, but there were so many great names. Let me just read you a few. We could have picked so many of these. Some of them were fun, some of them were funny, some of them were serious. New Life Community Church, Legacy Grace Community, FOMO, and the FOMO stood for something not that we normally mean it as. Wellspring Community Church. This one was creative. It was church, all capitalized, but the C was a lowercase c. And it meant to display that we are the lower C, or the not capital C, because we're not the universal church. We're part of a bigger story. We are the local expression of Christ's grace and gathering. And so then we had Great Commission Church, Compass, Catalyst, 3-in-1 Community Church, The Gathering, 1025, off Hebrews 1025, Frisco Community Church, Abide Community Church, Liberty, Trinity, Embrace. I mean, there are just name after names that all of them would have been great. And unfortunately, we had to land on one. And so the way I want to present to you now and reveal to you the name is we packaged it in a way that would hopefully be fun for you to experience for the first time and will also help us in the coming weeks to be able to share with others easily through things online. So watch this video with me and learn your new church name.
Every journey starts with a beginning, but it never stays there. All journeys of life are full of brokenness and pain and trials, leaving many to wonder, where is God? Does he care? And is he even there? We, his people, the church, know that God does care. He is near and he has proven his love. God moved towards us by stepping into the world. Jesus stepped into the brokenness of our sin, our suffering, our hopelessness to invite us to him and to be changed by him. One man, fully God, on a mission to seek and save the lost through sacrificing himself, is still seeking and still saving the lost over 2,000 years later. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it changes everything. The hopeless move onward towards hope in Christ. The hurting find healing. The one who is isolated is embraced. Those who live in their guilt and shame move onward towards forgiveness and receiving God's grace. The broken move onward towards restoration. The selfish towards a life of self-sacrifice. The faithful continue towards faithfulness, and those bound by their sin move onward towards freedom. The change that God has brought to us, we can't keep to ourselves. We must move onward, sharing with others the kindness and goodness of God. We press on towards the goal, the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, believing that he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. The path is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and we want to fight the good fight, to finish the race, to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We are compelled by the love of Christ to go forth and make disciples, to serve others, to be on mission locally in our city and abroad. We move together as one in Christ, his church, his people, taking his message of hope to the world. We move onward.
Good to be with you, Onward Community Church. It is really fun to get to now be able to share that with you. But also, I mean, what I want to do now is just help you understand why that's the name. And hopefully it hits you in that moment and it just fits or clicks for you, or God just allows that to immediately sink into your heart where you can get your arms around it. But we want to do so much more than that this morning. We want to tell you, I mean, as we thought about names, it's kind of like trying to grow something. And all these names I listed, and this one especially, were like seeds that you plant in the ground and you give it sunlight and you give it watering of conversation and of going through scripture and trying to figure out if it hits enough things that match what we think the people of God are supposed to be about. And what I want to explain to you this morning, as those seeds of names that were scattered and as we watered and processed them, there was, you know, a few over time that started to really grow and get some energy and passion behind it. And ultimately, this was the name that we picked. And I want to run you through some of the grids, some of the things we said. Whatever the name is, it's got to capture this. And certainly Onward became clear over time as we ran it through the filter, really, of God's word in several different ways. So I'm going to give you some of what that filter was, and more importantly, give you more of the vision and give you the chance to take that and to use that for others. And part of what, as we just prayed, as we just believed, God, we can't pick every good name. There's so many good names. But would you just guide us as we pick the right one? And we believe we found the right one. Here are just some few reasons why. First, as we started to look across the landscape of multiple seeds of names, we decided we wanted one that fits our, this church's unique story. This story of ours is not like every story. God took two separate churches and joined them together to start something new. And there's not a lot of churches. There are some, but there's not a lot that have that story. We like that part of our lineage. If you had a good mama, she would tell you all the time, don't forget where you came from. You know, and we want that to be true of our name. We want it in a way to hearken back always through generations to how this began, because we think what we're in the middle of is miraculous. And God is doing something amazing by joining two people together. So the idea of Onward, we're moving onward from two sets of churches, from two legacies of faithfulness that we are starting way down the road because we're standing on the shoulders of people who've come before us. Then it's hard to express. We would not be who we are or where we are if Centennial and Watermark didn't come first. And so we wanted to honor both of those churches and just say, we're proud of that. That's something we want to talk about a lot, is where we came from. And then deeper than that, we just believe throughout the ages that really Jesus started this church. And as you read in scripture and through the gospels and into Acts and Acts 2, this really is a journey and a mission and a message that's been passed down for generations. And so this is the passing of the baton to our church. We're moving the message of hope from Christ onward. Just like Centennial was, just like Watermark was, now it's our time. So we wanted a word that would, or a name that would capture those ideas. And it's because of scriptures like this in John 17, where Jesus is praying for his future church. And he says in verse 22 and 23, this is Christ praying to God the Father, the glory that you have given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. And so here's what we want you to understand. Our unity, our joining together, our oneness is our strength. It does give us vitality through the years. It is unique, but it's not unique to God's people. You've heard it said, we've said it a couple times, we're going to keep saying that our unity is the most evangelistic thing that we do. Our unity is the most evangelistic thing that we do. Because Jesus says, God, you are in me and I in you and we are one. I want my people to be one in the same way that me, the Trinitarian God, is one. People are going to know what God is like through my people, and my people need to figure out how to be unified and how to be one. And in doing so, I will show the world that me, Jesus Christ, was sent by God. That's the gospel. How is it displayed? By God's people being one. And he's going to show them this. Do you want people to know that God loves them? Love one another. People need to see rooms of folks who have all kinds of differences, the kind of differences that would be a catalyst for division to the world, but they are the means of the bond of the peace and the unity we have. That driving factors like what you look like, what you smell like, what political bend you have, what your thoughts are on vaccines and masks could be something that would divide you and drive you away from one another. But when the church can handle those things where there's strong conviction and yet look each other in the eye and say it's not essential to the gospel of Jesus, And therefore, we can get together and work through these differences, yet be one, when the world can't. And so we just think one of the best things we have going for us is our story started with unity, especially in a time where the world is divided and separated. That was one of the filters. Another one was this idea that Onward fit this category. It fits for you, your ability to share your unique story as an individual follower of Christ. So we wanted it to be something that collectively matched our story as a church, but then we wanted something that would set you up for success as a follower of Jesus to tell others your unique story with Christ. And the way I thought about it was, I want to play T-ball here with our people. I want to put the ball right here so every time somebody asks them, why is your name Onward? Or what do you love about Onward Community Church? I wanted to set you up to share the gospel in that moment. So when somebody asks you, hey, tell me about Onward, or tell me why you picked the name Onward, you could just say this. Well, it starts with individual people who were broken, who were dead in their trespasses and sin. I was dead in my trespass and sin. Here's who I am apart from Christ, but Christ has moved me on, has changed my story, has brought me out of my darkness and my shame and the consequence of my sin. I've moved onward to a newness of life. I am a new creation by what God has done, not what I've done. So every single one of our stories at Onward Community Church is that God went first. God laid down his life. He pulled us out of our darkness. That Colossians 1, 13 through 14 would just ring true for you. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us, moved us onward to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of his sins. And so we wanted a word that would really be a catalyst for you, that would be a jumping off point for you to share the gospel with people as you bump into them, using something as simple as the name of your church. And so with that, expect us to hold you accountable to doing that. That's a part of being here, is that you use your story, your name, our name, to talk about the ultimate story of God and his kindness. So that was one of the filters and why this name started to keep rising to the top of the list, because it knocked some of those out. So it helped us uniquely as our corporate story. It helps you uniquely as an individual following Jesus. And then one of the other things is we wanted something that expressed what we believe to be true about every Christian from all time. And the way that scripture talks about you as a believer of Jesus is using words like a sojourner, an exile, that we are aliens and strangers on this earth, that our citizenship is not here, but it's in heaven. Things like 1 Peter 2:11, which just reads this, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." I mean, we wanted a rally cry. We know we are not home. We know that the enemy rules the air. We know our flesh is fighting against us. We are soldiers. There is a battle going on for souls and eternity. And therefore, we move onward. We don't stop the mission we have been giving. And meanwhile, we are not living for the temporal things. And we do live in America, and we do live in Frisco and surrounding areas where materialism rules the day, and what you can see and what you can touch and what awards go around your neck mean more than they should, especially to the church. And we don't want that to plague us here. And we know we're drawn to that. We know our flesh pulls at that. But we want to look each other in the eyes and just remember that pilgrims travel light, that we're not setting up our homes or building our barns, but we're giving and we're constantly seeing how we can bless others. We're always looking outward. We're not trying to build comfort and ease and relaxing while we're here. We are passing through town. This is not our home. And so we're not gonna live like our goal is to get as much as we can, as quick as we can, to keep for ourselves. We are going to live like we have an opportunity to store for ourselves things in heaven where moth and rust don't destroy and thieves don't break in and steal. We're the sojourner, we're the exile, we're aliens and strangers. We have our sights on the kingdom to come, not this temporal world that's gonna pass away and is fleeting. And if you're like me, you could use that reminder a little more. And so we felt like, just given our context of society and kind of place the world God has us, we wanted something that had this idea in it. The call, certainly, of moving onward reminds us of that. Another reason was we clearly wanted something that fit our mission. And so let me read to you a piece of scripture that most of you have memorized, that most of you know how to quote, and I'm going to ask you to listen to it like it's the first time you've heard it. And I want you to put yourself before Christ, before he ascends. And he's about to look you in the eye and says, this, you're my church. I'm not going to be here physically with you walking the earth. It's going to be better that I go. I know that's hard for you to believe. I'm going to give you my spirit. My helper's coming. Trust me, you're going to be okay. But listen to me now. Because this is where I want you, church of 1 AD, an onward community church 2021, to be about. And so listen with the first time, Jesus calling you to something in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go. Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Spirit and the Son, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. It starts with movement. It starts with intentionality. It starts with a call to not stay where you're at, to not stay comfortable, to go move towards people who are broken and lost, to take the message of the gospel to the world. We are a people that doesn't stand still, that doesn't just look inward. We are focused on others. We believe Jesus wants us to be about this, making and being fully devoted followers of Christ. So we go, we move onward towards folks who do not know Jesus, folks who are going to spend eternity apart from him. Jesus can't even invite his disciples. I mean, for the very beginning of the Gospels, when Jesus is grabbing the group of men he's going to start this church through, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You can't follow Jesus and not go, not move onward towards people. If you're somebody who doesn't do that, the conversation is not to just keep repeating to you Christ's commands. The conversation is, do you know Christ? Because there's not a single one of us individually he does not call to go onward, to move, to go make disciples. John 17, 14 through 16, Christ just says, as he's praying, as we jump back into that prayer, I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. But listen, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. He's going to go on in a little bit and say, just as you have sent me, I send them. You are here for a reason. God has a purpose for all of us. It wasn't by accident that he left us here. He intentionally put us here to do something. He says, just like I came down here intentionally, I moved downward so I could become like you and reconcile you to myself in the flesh. I'm now going to call my people onward to keep that mission going. You are sent. We are going to live like sent people, like the resurrected king. I mean, to the point to where people are like, you guys are crazy. But we believe the resurrected king is looking us in the eyes, is grabbing us and saying, go, move. This is why you're here. Go fish for men. We also wanted a word that fit you as a body of followers. If we've gotten time together, and one thing we've noticed about you is that you understand the call to be a pastor, that you understand your life is ministry. You know you don't show up here so others can minister to your friends and family and neighbors. We're here to equip you to go do the ministry and to set you up to be able to do that. You live like pastors, and we call you to be. Christ calls you his ambassador, not just professionals, okay? We're all called to carry forth and represent Christ to the world, and we needed a name that would help you walk into any situation in any context and use it to give people hope. I mean, you guys know, I don't have to tell you, how many people in this world are hurting? How many are broken? How many are confused? How many have questions? What's the suicide rates done in the last couple years? What's the medication rates done in the last few years? What are alcohol sales like? I mean, you know people are hurting, people are broken, people are looking for answers, and if they can't find them that they like, they just feel stuck and they figured out, I gotta make this as great as it can be while I'm stuck in this place I am. And they need to hear the message that they can move onward from their brokenness, they can move onward from their pain and their despair and their fear and their anxiety. And it's time the church stepped up again and said, we have the answer. Because the world is running to doctors and medication and TV shows and self-help books and pagan counsel or something to numb themselves to figure out how to get out of forever their problem, or at least for now, I don't have to feel my problem. But they need real hope. They need real encouragement. They need truth that you, the church, has. And so we wanted a name that when you show up as the pastor and the minister in the living room, on the bleachers, or in the car, you can tell people who are in their darkest moments, their hardest moments, and say, hey, you can move out of that. You can move onward. There's more for you. And I'm somebody who knows God, and I can help you. You don't need to go on Sunday to my church. You don't need to go on Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday night to this ministry. I'm here right now. And I can help you. And then yes, absolutely. We've got all of those things to help you minister and help you encourage and help you pastor. But we are saying you are there. You're on the front lines. And we pray that in choosing this name, we give you the opportunity to give hope. One of my favorite passages of scripture of folks who just feel too far gone and too far away from God. And like if God really, maybe he can redeem me, but he certainly can't start to use me. Here's what I would tell you, Joel 2:25. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. I mean, it's so much more than God just takes you out of the situation you're in. It's that he starts to use you, maybe even in your situation, to breed hope to others. God doesn't promise on this temporary earth he's gonna change all of your circumstances, but he does say, as the world presses in on you, you can press on in me in faith, in trust, in hope, in peace, knowing that the end is to come, knowing this world isn't home, knowing there is life after death. And people need to hear that. And we're setting you up to go in there as ministers and pastors and breed hope. You heard this line in the video, and it's just one we're gonna start using more. But it's this, that the change God has brought to us, we can't keep to ourselves. He's done too much. We were too broken. We were all too far gone. We had nothing to offer God, but this is the amazing good news of God, that he loved us regardless. And he's made a provision for us. And not only that, he sends us out to be messengers of hope to the world. There's nobody God can't save and redeem. There's nothing the blood of Christ is not powerful enough to forgive and to be a complete payment for. You gotta go. We like the idea that we wanna live with the end in mind. That we wanna, as 2 Timothy 4:7-8, as we read the words of Paul, we don't want them to just be Paul's words from a guy who lived 2,000 years ago. We want these to be our words, our prayer, our perspective on life. Fight the good fight. I've finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And listen, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. It's not just for Paul. It's not just for Timothy. It's for the church. So go. We love living with the end in mind. We, right now, are having an amazing start, okay? This is a great start. In the next 4 weeks before our launch, there's some things we gotta keep tweaking. Things are gonna keep changing as you come, but this has been an amazing start to a church. I wouldn't even have the creativity to write this amazing of a story if I could. I mean, it is awesome. I love the moment we're in right now, but we know it's not about how we start. We want to run the race with endurance. We want to put aside the weight and the sin of the world, looking to Jesus, who's both the founder and the perfecter. So our faith has been founded, but he sees us through. Our church is being founded, but he's going to see us through. We didn't live for the start. We're living for the end. And that's going to guide us as we make decisions and as we get together, but we are going to finish the race. And as I start to think about some of that, some of what creeps up inside of me is, well, man, if we're gonna go for it, because we're talking about going for it for Christ, we're not always going to get it right. I mean, what about when we miss? What about when we get it wrong? And just the verse, because that's going to happen. We're going to get it wrong. You know, the verse that just comes to my mind is Proverbs 24:16, which says this: "For the righteous falls 7 times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in days of calamity." And here's what I would just tell you. We are not going to strike out as a church looking, okay? We are going to strike out swinging. And we know for a fact we are not going to do it perfectly, but we don't let our fear of our imperfection keep us from taking the perfect message to the world. We're going to get it wrong. But take courage. This is a place filled of grace and compassion and broken sinners, and we're going to move towards one another. We're going to forgive each other just as God in Christ has forgiven us. We're not going to hold at each other's heads or shove it under the rug. But we are going to go down swinging. And when we get it wrong, we're going to pause. We're going to talk about what we could have done differently. We're going to seek forgiveness, and then we're going to keep going. When the burden gets hard to bear, you won't be bearing it alone. We're all going to shoulder the load. We're all going to work through conflict. We're all going to figure out how to live reconciled and unified lives. But all of that is not going to keep us from moving onward. The fear of the unknown, the fear of getting it wrong, that's not who we're going to be. We're going to trust in Romans 8:31, which says this: "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And some of you are your own worst enemies. Getting in your head and letting the enemy run with you with lies and why you're not good enough, why you don't measure up, or why you're probably not going to get it right. But we believe this more, that God is for us and he is with us. He is there to pick us up when we get it wrong. He has already forgiven our eternal debts. He understands he chose to use you in your brokenness and imperfection. So we are going to go down swinging. Here's the, I think it's good for you to know, there was all of these filters and things we wanted to name to kind of connotate and express and demonstrate who we are and what we're about. But there was one spot in scripture specifically that really is what generated this name. And so today, if we had to just pick one verse for our church, really in the name specifically, it would be Philippians 3:12-14. Let me read it to you. Take it verse by verse and tell you more why. In Philippians 3:12, it says this: "Not that I have already attained this," talking about the resurrected life, "or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own." Because here's our motivation, Onward Community Church. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. We're not trying to make Christ ours. We're not trying to earn God's love. Because Christ has made us ours, because Christ does love us, we are moving onward from Christ, with Christ, in Christ. And that's our motivation. That's what gives us drive. That's what's pushing us onward. Verse 13, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." Some of you need to hear this. Forgetting what lies behind. There's nothing on the resume of your life that disqualifies you from both being redeemed by God, but certainly set free by God to be a minister and representative and encourager and light on the hill. I am telling you, members of the church I already know have done unspeakable things of wickedness and of evil. And Christ, 2,000 years ago, who knew that wickedness and evil that is inside all of us, that is equal in the eyes of God, sin punishable by death and eternal separation from a just God, 2,000 years ago showed up in love to pay for that sin. So if you're sitting there going, this is not me, I can't help move the mission onward, I've done too much, or I'm too far, it's not true. Now, there's things we got to do to work through that, but you don't stay stuck there. There's nobody stuck from the grace of God. He moves into our brokenness and uses it. Even if your brokenness is a life of morality like Paul, a religious accolade that gives him renown in people's eyes, that's what Paul was laying behind. In verse 14, again, he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The teaching is this: that which Christ died for, to bring to you ultimately, your glorification, your perfection, your life of righteousness that you can't earn, but Christ gives to you. That's what Christ died to give you. That is what we are living, striving to attain. So listen to me. Your perfection in salvation is sealed. It's happening. It's going to happen. Meanwhile, we're stuck where this flesh and this spirit wage war. And Paul is saying, I'm pressing on towards that which Christ is going to bring, but I'm gonna do all I can to bring as much of that glorification, as much as Christ in my life, in my body, as I can today. And my life of righteousness will be a message to a broken world. Later in Hebrews, you'll read that when we believe in this, that God, no matter what we do, will not show himself through unholy people. And it says it like this in Hebrews, the holiness without which no one will see God. We are pressing to be holy people. When Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount says, you be perfect as I am perfect, that is our goal. Yet our confession is we fall short and we're moving from Christ's love, but we want to show the world what's different about walking with a holy, righteous God and give them a taste and a foreshadowing of what Christ is bringing. As we close, let me give you this verse. This is something as you walk out of here and as you hopefully are just seeing the amazing things God has given you, both in people, both in relationships, and in stuff like buildings and classrooms and teachers in those classrooms. Let me just give you one last little warning here in Luke 12, verse 48. He's saying this, but the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Hang with me. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. God just gave us more responsibility, more things, and more opportunities to steward. He could have done it with a lot of churches. There is not more faithfulness here than I know is at multiple places across Frisco and the world. But for whatever reason, God chose uniquely to give us this story and these things and these opportunities. And with the increase of responsibility and stuff comes an increased desire to steward, hopefully. And God's going to look at us and say, hey, what did you do, Onward Community Church, with that uniting and that message I gave you? What did you do with that building and that logo and that name that I gave you? How did you use it for the mission? And he's expecting us, because he's just given us things to use for his glory, and we will give an account. And so for his sake and the desire to serve him and to bless him and to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, we are gonna maximize every square inch and every minute that we can by God's grace and enabling. And so last thing in Proverbs 22:1, it's just been a driving proverb through this whole process of choosing a name, says this: a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. Now obviously this does not mean pick out of the 70 options the right name. What it means is no matter what name you pick, you can screw it up. No matter how much vision and how much Bible and how much intentionality went into the name, what you do underneath that name will determine its value. And so what I'm here to say is we each have a part to play. You know it takes a lifetime to build a reputation, but a moment to ruin it. And it takes, I will say it this way, a group of people to build a reputation for a church, but it takes one of us to put a damper on the name. And ultimately, we don't care about the name onward. We care about the name of Christ. Our driving is not to have an amazing local expression, although it is. It's to make the expression of Christ accessible and desirable to people by the way that we live and love him. We're not doing this because we're commanded, although we are. We are doing this because we're compelled by the love of Christ. We want him to use us. We want others to see us being used by a good father as we submit and honor him. And say that life of submission and obedience in words that are more like cuss words today to the world is really where freedom is found. The commands of God are his love expressed. And I know more than any of you, I'm going to be praying for you that you give this place a good name by your actions and reputation and your words and the way you interact in the community. But here's what I know. Me, Connor, uniquely has an opportunity to mess this up more than you probably do. And I understand that. The soon-to-be elders of this church have a greater opportunity to stain the name of Onward and ultimately Christ than anybody because of the role and the leadership and some of the public ways we communicate. And so I'm asking, I'm begging, I'm telling you I need you to pray for me. I don't want to mess this up. I don't want to get in the way of the amazing things Christ wants to do. And so if we will just focus on decreasing so he can increase, if we keep a commitment to not straying from God's word, that this is what, there's things in here that tell us are worth dying for. Safety is not our biggest concern. The advancement of the kingdom is. There are things that this says, it's not that big of a deal. Calm down. And me and others need to calm down at times. But here's what I'm asking. Pray for me. Pray that we would stay humble and committed to God and trusting in him. We don't want to move faster and get out of head. We don't want to go slow. We want to move onward at the pace and the time that God would have us. And so let's pray now. Father, there is no name under heaven in which people will be reconciled to you except for Jesus Christ. Onward Community Church has nothing to give you or the world that's from ourselves. But if we will just stay the course and fight the good fight and walk in humility and trust in you, we have the keys to eternity to give to the world. We have the answer to everyone's question. We have the key that unlocks the burden and chains of sin. We can bring freedom and we can bring hope and we can watch you do something for generations that will change the world, but even more so eternity. And God, there is so much you want to do. We want to be a church, Onward Community Church, that moves in trust, that moves in faith, that goes and makes disciples, that runs towards anything that would divide us, so that way we can run together on mission for you. Protect us, guide us, and remind us, strengthen us when it gets hard, and bring the comfort Christ only you can bring. We love you. Amen.